Section 6. Training to Sustain at Pace During Large-Scale Combat Operations. Chapter 11. What Commanders Must Consider While Preparing Their Units to Sustain During Large-Scale Combat Operations. Introduction. Sustainment units arguably have more training opportunities than maneuver units while at home station, in addition to exercises that feature training and practice on the tasks sustainment units need to master to support their brigade combat teams, BCTs, they constantly support other units' training. Maneuver units cycle in and out of collective maneuver training opportunities. Sustainers constantly support. For a long time, conducting garrison sustainment operations has been viewed as conducting sustainment training in and of itself. So, if support units spend all their time training, why do they sometimes struggle to execute their wartime tasks within a contested environment? The answer is because sustainment battalions, BNs, generally operate on two sets of tactics, techniques, and procedures, TTP, one each for garrison and tactical operations. Unfortunately, the two TTP categories have minimal overlap. Garrison operations TTP are generally optimized to take advantage of short line of communications, locks, and hardstand infrastructure for the sake of efficiency. Tactical operations TTP are often less efficient, but trained to support in austere, contested environments. Convenience incentivizes garrison TTP. The expected challenges of large-scale combat operations, LISCO, demand tactical TTP. For commanders to prepare their units to sustain during LISCO, they must set the conditions for their sustainment units to train in garrison, as they will fight in a tactical environment. Commanders must apply tactical processes and TTP in garrison support operations. Operationalizing garrison logistics. In the LISCO tactical environment, successful organizations require their supported units to produce logistics status, logstat reports, analyze requirements, execute logistics synchronization, log sync meetings that forecast mission requirements up to 96 hours in advance, apply a deliberate planning process at the brigade, BN, and company levels, and determine the best support method for a given scheme of maneuver. In garrison, these same organizations simply require a transportation movement request from the supported unit 24 hours in advance and then task it out with minimal additional analysis. They keep it simple to complete the job, but the lack of extra effort costs them a training opportunity. Even in garrison, units should execute a deliberate planning process to arrive at an acceptable, feasible, and achievable concept of sustainment and then execute support using tactical TTP. If a forward support company, FSC, requires Class 1 rations, bulk water, and fuel in support of its maneuver BN's field exercise, that FSC should not draw directly from its base's subsistence supply management office, bulk water point, and fuel farm. Instead, the FSC should articulate requirements by submitting a logstat report during routine operations. The support operations officer, SPO, should then take the requirements and resource the support. During the next BCT log sync, the BCT S4 and SPO should complete coordination so the Brigade Support Battalion, BSB S3, can build the order. The BSB's distribution company should draw the commodities and deliver them to the FSC via a logistics package, log pack, or at a logistics release point, LRP, even if the log pack or LRP is from one motor pool to another. Additionally, the BN should levy a time constraint against the operation as it would in the field because of constraints presented by the supported scheme of maneuver. Units cannot execute garrison sustainment along these lines unless installation and division commanders set conditions. For example, it must become an installation-wide business practice that FSCs cannot acquire accounts to draw commodities from various garrison agencies. Forcing functions such as these prevents units from bypassing critical LISCO training out of misplaced incentives. Field Trains Command Post. When transitioning from garrison to field operations, maneuver units struggle with developing concepts and intentions for employing their Field Trains Command Posts, FTCPs. The first question is where to locate the FTCP. Maneuver doctrine largely suggests field trains should be located in the Brigade Support Area, BSA. Emplacing FTCPs within the BSA increases force protection efficiencies and aids synchronization with the BSB headquarters, HQ. Co-locating the FTCP with the BSA may also allow the FTCP to share communications equipment with the BSA, mitigating Maneuver BN's limited access to Upper Tactical Internet, TI. Next, commanders need carefully consider and decide who will serve as the FTCP Officer in Charge, OIC. Especially in LISCO, where long locks and electronic warfare, EW, may deny routine communications, it is critical for the Maneuver BN commander to maintain a trusted agent within the BSA to make sustainment decisions for the BN. Sustainment Doctrine, Field Manual 4.0, Sustainment Operations, 31 July 2019, and Army Techniques Publication, ATP 4-90, Brigade Support Battalion, 18 June 2020, Maneuver BN Doctrine, ATP 3-21.20, Infantry Battalion, 28 December 2017, ATP 3-21.21, SBCT Infantry Battalion, 18 March 2016, ATP 3-20.96, Cavalry Squadron, 12 May 2016, ATP 3-09.23, Field Artillery Cannon Battalion, 24 September 2015, and ATP 3-90.5, Combined Arms Battalion, 5 February 2016, and the Command Post CP-ATP, ATP 6-0.5, Command Post Organization and Operations, 1 March 2017, vary in their recommendations, but all offer a combination of the FSC Commander, Headquarters and Headquarters Company, HHC Commander, BNS4, or one of their representatives, to take charge of the FTCP. Ultimately, the decision should not be based on duty position, but instead on personality. Questions commanders should consider when selecting the appropriate FTCP OIC include: who is best suited to understand my intent and tactical situation? Who can articulate my sustainment requirements? Who can serve as a trusted agent to make sustainment decisions for my BN? Who can represent my BN at a BSB log sync? Who can ensure my BN is sustained during BSB planning sessions? Finally, commanders must determine the composition of their FTCPs. Commanders should not assume this composition is standard across the brigade or even an operation. FTCP compositions should be different for each BN based on their mission, task, and purpose. A field artillery FABN may echelon more distribution assets forward because of the ammunition requirements, while a light infantry BN leaves its assets at the FTCP until needed. Composition may change between phases of an operation. Commanders who want to decrease their logistics tail during a defense may opt to leave additional fuel assets at the FTCP in the BSA. When they transition to an offense, they may call the fuel forward and push surplus Class 4 construction materials to the rear. Regardless of the FTCP composition, commanders must set conditions during garrison operations to ensure their units are thoroughly trained for LISCO. They should organize their FSC as they would in a tactical environment with an FTCP and Combat Trains Command Post, CTCP. For example, if the BN engages in a field training exercise, FTX, the FTCP should co-locate with the BSB even if it is not establishing a BSA for the operation. Synchronization and coordination meetings between the Maneuver BN and BSB should be accomplished as per Unit Standard Operating Procedures, SOPs. If an SOP directs the FSC commander to attend the BSB log sync, the FSC commander should travel tactically from the supported unit's area to the BSB area. Communication between the FSC and BSB should be in accordance with the Brigade's Logistics Communications Primary, Alternate, Contingency, and Emergency PACE plan. If LISCO challenges demand units detach FTCPs from the BSA, For example, to avoid a concentration of friendly units and their large electromagnetic EM signature, commanders must answer the following questions to ensure the plan's suitability. How will I secure my FTCP? What communications equipment is necessary for my FTCP to interact with me? What communications equipment is necessary for my FTCP to interact with the BSA? Do I have enough communications equipment to properly outfit the FTCP as a standalone node? Security operations. To simulate security and reporting requirements in a garrison environment, BNs can mandate convoy protection platforms, CPPs, escort log packs and LRPs across the unit footprint. They should establish security once they arrive at their link-up positions in accordance with the BCT Tactical Standard Operating Procedures, TACSOP. Communications equipment should be installed, operational, and tested within all platforms, further enhancing training and readiness for BN reporting. BNs should assign convoy commanders and assistant convoy commanders so they can rehearse troop leading procedures, TLPs, and mission preparation sequences culminating in a convoy brief. Operations should end with the convoy commander and assistant convoy commander reporting to the BN S3, S2, and SPO to conduct mission closeout reporting, updating all parties on the tasks accomplished, supported unit stockage levels, and the status of routes used during execution. When making lock security decisions, commanders must consider the bypass criteria established during the maneuver fight. Even a bypassed squad-sized enemy element in the support area can create difficulties for support units while conducting replenishment operations. BCT commanders must answer the following questions. Who is responsible for support area and lock security? Within the BCT, is this tasked to the Brigade Engineer Battalion, BEB? If so, how will BEB personnel and security shortfalls be mitigated when the BCT transitions into a defense and BEB assets are spread thin conducting engagement area development? Will the BCT task its reserve element with lock security when the BCT is not committing it to the forward line of own troops, FLOT? Will an entire maneuver element be rotated back to the BEB or BSB to provide rear security? Time, distance, and carrying capacity. Home station training areas are not large enough to accurately replicate the vast distances units fight across during LISCO. Similarly, LISCO pace is unlike any feasible training timelines. Commanders must apply critical thinking to understand the demands LISCO present their units. Units might quadruple a BCT's consumption factors from a brigade-level collective training event or combat training center CTC rotation to begin to understand their LISCO requirements. If a commander applied this math to their fuel consumption, ammunition expenditures, or even Class 4 requirements for a wide-area defense, would unit sustainers have the capability to move it all at the speed of operations? The answer is no. How can this be mitigated? Commanders must prioritize their classes of supplies and even specific loads to ensure they have what they need when they need it and can move it with their organic distribution platforms. The need for external support must be thoroughly understood and requested from echelon above brigade EAB units in a timely manner. During LISCO, a BCT may reach back to a sustainment brigade for support, but the sustainment brigade supports an entire division. Its assistance is afforded, but perhaps not within the timeline the BCT would prefer. This highlights the need for BCT planners to understand the support they need well in advance of requirements. The BCT commander may empower the BSB commander to help solve these problems. The implication of the previous paragraph is that for BCTs to be relatively certain they have the right supplies at the right place at the right time, they must move them organically. A BSB commander, however, has a limited amount of movement capacity resident in their base companies. The wealth of distribution capacity is found across the FSCs. Maximizing the BCT's ability to meet movement requirements and priorities requires that the BSB commander has the latitude to re-task organize all BCT distribution assets, including FSC distribution platoons. Maintenance. Although distribution operations are complex and time-consuming, maintenance operations within LISCO also generate significant friction. The daily garrison workload of any maintenance organization is not as extreme as the anticipated workload during LISCO, but still provides training opportunities. Executing tactical maintenance operations with the BSB's maintenance company or the FSC's maintenance platoons can be challenging without participating in a BN or brigade-level training event. Maintenance units can simulate working in an austere environment by displacing their garrison operations to their local training areas. When garrison recovery opportunities arise, recovery sections should take advantage of them and treat them as a tactical mission. The recovery crew should go through all steps and procedures as if operating in a tactical operation. The convoy commander should conduct a convoy brief and pre-combat inspection, PCI, after the subordinate leaders conduct pre-combat checks, PCC, including Radio Joint Capabilities Release, JCR, Joint Battle Command Platform, JBCP checks with the BN headquarters. This additional training undoubtedly costs immediate efficiency, but provides the recovery team an opportunity to exercise and validate its mission preparation checklist and TLPs. Most importantly, it builds confident and cohesive recovery teams. Although the aforementioned maintenance TTP can prepare an organization for LISCO at the company level, BCT and BN commanders must set conditions to truly operationalize a unit's command maintenance discipline program. Commanders should ask themselves, are motor stables or maintenance Mondays an operation at the brigade level? Do maintainers pull out their maintenance support devices and use them, or do they sit in a closet with outdated software? Do mechanics use special tools on the same regular basis they would in the field, or do they rely on the convenience of a motor pool's maintenance bay? Is Tactical Enterprise Logistics Systems, TELS's gunnery, a habitual event on the training calendar to exercise all devices and ensure serviceability? Is time allotted to maintain all unit equipment or just reserved for rolling stock and combat platforms? How are communication systems checked and maintained? Are medics pulled from treatment facilities to maintain their specialty equipment? Do units practice maintaining in a distributed manner or under contact? LISCO keeps maneuver units constantly on the move. Support units need to move similarly to provide support forward and enable the maneuver's operational reach and endurance. However, the commander must answer the following question: when do I want my maintainers to preserve my fleet? The commander's answer dictates how often maintenance collection points and other support nodes displace. Units must strike a balance where maintenance nodes move often enough to remain accessible to the supported unit, but static enough to enable maintainers to keep the fleet in the fight. Distance presents the same challenges for maintainers as it does for distribution units. Units must prepare for distance challenges when operationalizing their maintenance program. During garrison operations, maintenance meetings are typically conducted in person. In a tactical environment, in-person maintenance meetings remain a best practice. However, LISCO sometimes makes conducting in-person meetings challenging. How do units ensure distributed maintenance meetings remain effective? Without practice at home station, distributed meetings fail to achieve objectives. Training on distributed meetings during garrison operations ensures communication systems are functional and effective, personnel are proficient at sharing and receiving information, and leaders can make decisions. The speed of operations across vast distances during LISCO requires commanders to make considerations and issue guidance to increase the velocity of maintenance operations. As previously mentioned, BCT organic distribution capacity is limited, and commanders must set priorities for what their units move themselves and what they can afford to request support for through EAB units. Class 9 repair parts are no exception. Commanders accepting risk by requesting sustainment brigade support to move Class 9 parts so their own organic assets can move sustainment more directly linked to combat power, such as Class 5 munitions, could slow down maintenance operations. Or when lock security difficulties enable the enemy to interdict a Class 9 movement, maintenance operations could come to a standstill. Even well above the tactical level, repair part shortfalls and delays within the larger sustainment enterprise, in theater or on the home front, could have tactical repercussions. Commanders must ask the following questions to increase the velocity of maintenance operations at their level during LISCO. What are the standards for controlled exchange? What are the standards for cannibalization, and who makes the call when parts are not going to be available? What shop stock is maintained at the maintenance platoon level to reduce the requirement for trips to the BSA and supply support activity SSA? When was the last shop stock review conducted? How is shop stock stored during garrison operations to replicate tactical operations? Is it on a shelf in the motor pool or always ready to move in a shop van? Medical support. In 2009, the Army Medical Enterprise began transition to a new medical model in line with civilian best practices. The intent was to provide better soldier healthcare in garrison. The new Army medical model moved all treatment that exceeded triage from the Battalion Aid Station, BAS, to the installation level, representing a significant second-order effect for maneuver formations. The majority of the Brigade Support Medical Companies, BSMC, Role 2 Medical Treatment Facility Mission supporting a BCT, medical treatment including X-ray, laboratory support, physical therapy, and behavioral health, has permanently moved out of the Brigade's home station footprint. When providers, ancillary personnel, and a portion of the unit's MOS-68 Whiskies, combat medic specialists, are employed elsewhere, how do leaders create and maximize opportunities to practice skills and ensure readiness? Commanders at the brigade, division, and even installation levels need to relieve their medical personnel from the garrison architecture for certain periods to accomplish the necessary tactical training and prepare for LISCO. Within a BCT, for example, the brigade commander must empower the BSB commander to work with the BSMC commander and garrison medical facilities to balance doctor and medic coverage and support tactical training exercises. Rigorous, frequent training and the time to conduct it allows the BSMC and Maneuver BN medical platoons to succeed in tactical environments, including LISCO. Even with the constraints of garrison operations, units can operationalize their day-to-day home station activities. Company or BN-level training creates medical training opportunities that are generally underused. When companies conduct ranges or BNs conduct gunneries, they take their medics and frontline ambulances to the field. When not engaged with a real-world emergency situation, these medics can train with the BSMC's evacuation platoon. For example, the BSMC and Maneuver BN Medical Platoon can practice ambulance exchange point AXP operations after minimal coordination with the BSB's medical SPO and brigade medical operations personnel. Tactical evacuation, TACAVAC, demands a medical common operational picture, MEDCOP, but units often struggle to develop one when transitioning to tactical operations. Developing a MEDCOP requires the BSMC, BSB, and Brigade Medical Operations leaders to seek training repetitions. Establishing, maintaining, and refining a MEDCOP during daily garrison operations is a best practice. When supporting company and BN training events, medical platoons should practice establishing Role 1 treatment facilities while the BSMC practices establishing the Role 2. Units should time how long it takes to establish and tear down a facility. For example, units should determine how long it takes to get the Role 2 facility ready for initial operational capability, with trauma beds up, patient hold established, and X-ray and lab capabilities operational, and how long it takes to get ready for displacement, including equipment stowed as per approved load plans. Understanding time constraints is an important benchmark for future training and a critical planning factor for future operations, FUOPs. LISCO presents commanders with medical considerations they cannot replicate during the most heavily resourced tactical training. Mass casualty, mass cal events, and their unit responses must be thoroughly understood and rehearsed at echelon. Commanders must ask themselves, Does the unit understand its medical capabilities and what constitutes a MASCAL event? When a MASCAL event happens, what is the response plan? If the Role 1 is split, where are casualties evacuated? Do certain patients stop at company casualty collection points, CCPs? How does the unit incorporate combat lifesavers, CLSs, into the overall plan? Who has the decision authority to launch organic aerial medical evacuation, medevac aircraft? Does the unit identify organic non-medevac aircraft to provide non-standard aerial casualty evacuation, CASEvac? Once all medevac and CASEvac assets, air and ground, are expended, what EAB medical support and medevac assets exist in the area to tap into for support? Answering these questions supports developing a sufficiently detailed plan and creates a baseline of topics to address during training. The amount of casualties expected in LISCO demands units coordinate CASEvac and CASEvac platforms with the overall medevac plan. Units should anticipate using medevac assets to evacuate the highest priority casualties to the next level of care. Units must identify CASEvac platforms at the BN level for use when all medevac assets are expended. These platforms must have dedicated crew members who understand the MedCop and where to go on the battlefield. These platforms should also have CLS personnel and Class 8 medical supplies assigned to provide baseline medical aid while en route to the next level of care. BN Command Sergeants Major, CSMs, and Company First Sergeants, 1SGs, must take ownership of this problem set. Mortuary Affairs. The same environmental and threat factors which increase the challenges of CASEvac also increase the BCT's demand to conduct Mortuary Affairs, MA, operations. MA considerations start at the Search for Human Remains, HR, and do not end until HR are handed off to MA professionals. Significant BCT constraints include MA manning, which usually consists of a single MA non-commissioned officer, NCO, to help plan operations, and a lack of HR cold storage capacity within a BCT. What happens when security considerations inhibit the rearward movement of HR to EAB MA support? Can the division or corps augment the BCT and BSB with a mobile integrated remains collection system, MIRCS, to close this capability gap? Other questions commanders need ask themselves include, do I have search and recovery SNR teams identified and trained? What experts do I have on my team, beyond my one MANCO, that can plan an SNR operation? How do I execute an SNR operation while also securing my SNR team? Medevac and CASEvac assets cannot move HR. What assets have my units identified that can? What allocation do I direct for human remains pouches, HRPs? One per squad, one per soldier, one per HRP vehicle? What equipment do I need to resource for my SNR teams to be successful? How do I integrate my limited MA personnel and my SNR teams into the EAB MA support within my area of operations, AO? Because commanders may be asked or tasked to conduct SNR operations of other nations and services, what coalition partners do I have in or adjacent to my area? Do those cultures have special considerations? Conclusion. Sustainment BNs, particularly BSBs supporting BCTs, become mired in day-to-day tasks that inhibit their ability to conduct tactical training unless commanders place emphasis and priority on it. The commander's commitment to tactical training throughout the conduct of garrison operations begins to set the conditions for sustainment success in LISCO. Support units must operationalize day-to-day garrison activities to replicate tactical operations and discontinue the use of garrison-centric mission planning, preparation, and execution. This is a paradigm shift which begins with buy-in from brigade and division commanders. Without this paradigm shift, units struggle through a steep learning curve when initially deployed. In LISCO, we may not be able to afford that struggle. A failure in sustainment becomes our failure in maneuver. This is something we can never abide.